This is the View from the Bridge official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 3rd of March, 2020. My name's Patrick Smith. Two games at home for the Belfast Giants, 3 points, a win and a loss in overtime, but a little bit of a better return than what we're used to the last number of weeks. Maybe a little bit of a turnaround. Well, we'll see when we get to that. A lot to cover on this week's show. As I say, we'll be chatting about those games in Guildford. We might be joined by Mr. Colin Shields. We have interviews with Adam Keefe and Mark Garside. We'll have a chat about the player of the month, a wee look around the league, and we have another special guest in to preview this weekend's only game against the Fife Flyers. But I'll start where I normally start. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not bad, Paddy. It's now my second favourite month of the year, as you know, and looking forward to it.
Mr. Kitchen, fresh off a trip to London at the weekend. How are you? You feeling fresh?
Yeah, I'm feeling a wee bit better today, mate. Yesterday I was in bed last night for 8 o'clock, and I slept right through until 8 o'clock this morning. So thanks to a few of the boys for keeping me company in that trip, Taff and Bobby Farnham, Big Matt Pelich, Hookie Longer, and Curtis Hamilton. But yeah, a really good trip. Six top lads, really enjoyed it.
Six top lads who nobody was happy with the football results?
Well, I've got a couple of videos of Longer. When we get back to the hotel, Longer's crying in his Aston Villa flag. obviously, the Spurs didn't get the result, and to be honest, didn't deserve the result. We're okay going forward, but defense was just horrendous. It was certainly a pain in the butt for the trip itself, but the stadium again, it's the second time I've been in, it's just unbelievable. So really good. Taff's first trip, obviously he very, very seldom Taff gets a Sunday off or a possibility of a trip like that mid season, and the same as the boys as well. So they Taff, myself, and Hoogie went to the Spurs match, and then the other boys went to Wembley for Aston Villa, and Longer was teaching them some Villa songs, and Bobby and Pelich are trying to do the Birmingham accent, which was just absolutely hilarious. A great trip had by all.
You think it's bad following Spurs? Try being a Liverpool fan these last 2 weeks, mate. These last two weeks have been terrible.
You used to 30 years, before that. But no, I wouldn't be worried too much about your league challenge. In all fairness, I watched the highlights back from the Watford match, and to be honest, you were lucky we getting out with 3-0.
Yeah, well, I'm keeping half an eye on this game against Chelsea, and I'm going to switch it off in a minute. Anyway, right, let's have a look at the Belfast Giants. This is a hockey podcast after all. And it was two games at home. First, two games of seven in a row at home for the Belfast Giants. Guildford in town for the final time this season. And, a win and an overtime loss. As I said, I'll give you the statistics from both games and then we'll work our way through the games. The first game was on Friday night, a 7-3 victory for the Belfast Giants. Giants goals coming from Goodwin on the power play, Farnham on the power play, Liam Morgan on the power play. How much have we been talking about the lack of power play goals? And there's three of them. Jordan Smotherman, Elgin Pearce, Morgan with a second, and Ryan Lowney with just under 3 minutes to go made it the seventh goal for the Giants. With regards to Guildford, the goals came from Crooks, Davies, and Lindhagen. In goal for the Belfast Giants was Stephen Murphy on Friday night's 25 saves. And at the other side, Travis Fullerton started the game, 25 saves, 5 goals against. He lasted 40 minutes in the final 20 minutes. Wooden Peters came in, 13 shots against, 2 goals against. And the other side, on to Saturday, and I'm all pretty much a different affair. We've talked about how the Giants often have a difficult second game of the weekend, and so it proved. The scoring was opened by the Guildford Flames' Ben Davies, and Jamie Crooks doubled that on 21 minutes, and then Jamie Crooks trebled that to make it 3-0 on 27:31 before Curtis Hamilton fired back on 29:04 to make it 3-1. But then Ian Waters on the power play made it 4-1 at the end of the second period. Into the third period, and the Giants started to come roaring back. Jordan Smotherman of 47:05, Patrick Mullen of 49:39, and then with 49 seconds left in the game, And Ian Waters serving a 2-minute penalty. The Giants scored on the power play with the goalkeeper pulled to make it 4-4. And the SSE Arena was alive. Unfortunately, though, 2 minutes and 11 seconds into overtime, John Dunbar made it 5-4 to the Guildford Flames. Goalkeeping, Shane Owen in nets, 18 shots against 5 goals. Also, Wooten Peters, 37 shots against 4 goals. And your referees that night were Pavel Hallis and Stefan Hogarth. I'll start with you, Davey. Looking at that Friday game, a 7-3 win for the Giants. Exactly the sort of start, exactly the sort of result that the Giants wanted to get away with to open this weekend against the Flames.
Yeah, there was a lot about this game that I liked. There was maybe a 10-minute period where we maybe got away from it a little bit, but you know, I thought we opened up well through that first period. Two pretty well matched teams. You know, you know what they're going to come with every time they come here. They've got speed. You don't want to be giving them too many penalties, which we managed to do sort of better on the Friday night. Certainly, fairly even. I think we carried the play. I was saying to Simon earlier, I think we carried the play well in the first period and probably should have came away with more, albeit they had one really lovely chance with a great save, glove save from Murph. Second period, then we'll go in and you know, I think we were pretty dominant in that second period from, you know, the terms, I think, what, about 25 shots on. We got the 5 goals, the 3 power play goals, all from in and around the blue paint, all from getting in front of Fullerton's eye, taking his eyes away, getting shots. You know, Smo has had a really delightful finish from the feed from Ward. I think maybe going into the third period, we maybe just took the foot off the gas ever so slightly. We got a little bit sloppy, gave up a few odd man rushes. They scored. You know, it put ourselves not under pressure because we had a big enough, comfortable enough lead at that stage. But it sort of then that can affect the following night, and I think that does to an extent. But you know, we'll come up, they changed the goalie, we'll come up with a couple of goals in that last period to make it a really lopsided score. But I think it was as dominant as we've been probably this calendar year anyway, through January and February. Getting that, it's a real nice, it looks a nice, pretty scoreline. It was a nice, tidy performance. Say we outshot them grandly and we got into really good areas. We didn't in the third period get into the same areas as we did in the second, but we didn't really need to. But you know, as far as Friday night goes, it was a pretty professional performance, albeit, as I say, I think we took maybe 10 minutes off before we needed. We got that kick up the backside with them scoring with maybe a couple with about 10 minutes to go, and we got back in the gear a little bit.
I think that's a good point, isn't it? The fact that the Giants were looking dominant throughout the game, but then when Davies scores and then Lynn Hagan scores soon afterwards, the Giants needed that kick up the backside to go and just settle the score.
Yeah, I was talking to Davey before we went live there, and you know, yeah, they got the first goal again, but in the first period, there was a real big chance for them to go ahead 1-0 in the first, and It was Waters at the back door. I'm pretty sure it was Dunbar that opened the play up and seemed to pass right through the middle. And to be honest, it was an open cage. He sort of, I think it was Lowndes and obviously the goalie Murph on Friday night. But Waters should have scored. It was a stone wall, open net, and he missed it. And he's probably only 8 feet, maybe 10 feet out. So they get that goal in the first, they get the start of the goal at the start of the second. It's a completely different game. But we really became alive after they got that goal. That first goal they got in the second, we just woke up. They got in. Their discipline on Friday night was well, it was poor. There was some of the calls that were getting, you know, you could see Fullerton getting angry and getting frustrated with the way the defensive core were playing. I had learned today that there was a few other guys feeling under the weather on Friday night. That's one of the reasons that Reddick didn't play on Friday night, and they really missed him. He's a top player. He's a top point scorer. And you've seen what he gave him when he came out on Saturday night. He's a really, really solid player. Plays in all aspects of the game, shorthanded, plays on the power play. You know, he's really good 5-on-5 as well. But overall, I thought that, you know, with the way the power play's been going this year, and you know, they score the 3 goals on the power play at the start of the second period. And that was, I think I was then 3-for-4 at that point. They then, as I say, they Guildford weren't giving their goaltender any help at all. He conceded five goals in just over 8 minutes, and he broke a couple of sticks in Lebargan as well. One went off the glass, one he smashed around the post, and then he went over to the bench and smashed another one over the bench. So, you know, he was certainly a very frustrated figure for Fullerton. And to be honest, and I said on the night itself, I didn't think that he could do an awful lot with the goals, to be honest. I thought that it was more the work of the guys in front of him that let him down. But he pulled him, Dixon pulled him. And the best thing about Paul Dixon, we all know that he can talk and talk and talk, but he's so honest. Yep. Every game, you know, that he comes out there, he just tells it exactly the way it is. Very like Adam. Adam does exactly the same thing as well. There's coaches out there who talk about instead of crap, you know, thinking that, like Jose Mourinho, and you thought it was we deserved to win on Sunday. Nonsense, we didn't. you know, again, Paul Dixon came out and said it exactly the way it was, and you just knew that he was going to get a reaction on Saturday, and that's exactly what happened.
Divi, as we said, you know, Stephen Murphy in goal on Friday night seems to be a move from Adam Keefe to basically give a bit of a rest to Shane Owen and try to even it up. And I thought Murph played really well.
Yeah, well, he's played a lot of hockey this season. He's done pretty well. He's been one of our best performers, certainly over the season. You only need to look at his stats on the Elite League website to see that he's been pretty good this season. Hasn't always got the support, perhaps, in front of him. Although we lay down in front of a lot of shots, so credit where that's due. But I think Owen perhaps has suffered from a little inconsistency as well as the rest of the team. When he's really on it, he's like right up there with the top goaltenders in this league. Stephen Murphy's proven himself, you know, over, what, 400, 450 games to the Belfast Giants. You know what you're going to get with Murph. Probably with a little more game time, he would be even sharper. But he came in, he made a couple of big saves when he had to. They got a couple past him on a few odd man rushes, but he came up with a couple of real big saves through the game, and he's a really capable backup. He's obviously, I'm not retiring him, but I would say he's coming towards the end of his career. You know, it's himself. He's had his testimonial. He's been here, what, 10 or 12 years now, and his numbers don't fade away. He's been stellar for this club, as Neil Coach Russell would say. But, you know, it's great that he's able to be called on there when Kiefer needs him.
So let's bring this into Saturday's game then, says, and you know, the game against Manchester the other week, we had to find a way to come back, having been quite heavily behind. We had to do it again, but especially until that third period, it seemed like a very different Belfast Giants side to the side we'd seen on Friday night.
Absolutely. We talk about Reddick coming back into the lineup, and that gave him a big boost, but right from the first whistle, or from first puck drop, sorry, you knew they were coming to play. The first couple of minutes, they were sort of camped in our area. We got a bit of a wind, and you know, we managed to push back on it in the first period. But to be honest with you, I thought they were really good, especially for the first 40 minutes. We looked probably a wee bit leggy. I thought that, you know, that Reddick line of Dunbar, Reddick, and Waters, you know, they're just absolutely solid. Ben Davies had a really good weekend. You know, he scored on both nights. Jamie Crooks, I think he had three goals over the weekend. Ferguson gets under your skin. He just gets stuck into it as well. Their fourth goal on the power play, was it their fourth one?
Yep.
That's probably one of the best power play goals I've seen this season. If you watch it back, it's just, it was just beautiful. Absolutely brilliant.
And again, Reddick involved in the build-up to that.
Absolutely. You know, he the first time pass he gave back, I mean, it comes from the left, right through the seam in the slot, right on the Reddick stick. One time play to Waters and he tapped it home. It was just brilliant. You know, we did fantastically well in the third period. I know that Adam went in at the start of the third, and let's just say a few choice words were had. And I don't think he missed, missed it, hit the wall. And it looked like that because we came out the third period a completely different team. But the first 40 minutes wasn't good enough. By any stretch of the imagination, was not good enough. Third period, I thought we were excellent. If we had the stamina to play like that every period that we played this season, the league's over. We had a way to walk this league. But the inconsistency that 90% of the our games have been filled with. That's our big problem. But the third period, I thought we were excellent. Smallerman got the goal to get our legs moving a couple of minutes ago, get Mullen back, put it back to 4-3. Probably a wee bit of luck with the too many men penalty, I think it was. Delay of game, because he hit the puck out of the zone, out of the air. And Hogarth at first said no. And then the referees and the linesmen had a little bit of a meeting at the Sethers we semicircle, and the penalty was called. And it was the correct decision. But to get that power play goal right at the end of the game to push it into overtime, I thought, after, as you've already said, Paddy, coming back from 4-0 against Manchester and then coming back with this, that's two character performances. However, it was disappointing the way it ended. The pass coming through there when all three guys are below the hash marks is a play that you just can't make. You've got to have coverage back there. Whether it's a forward or whether it's a defenseman back, you've got to have coverage. And a 2-on-0, we can't really do anything about that. That was a nice play by Guildford. They pick up the extra point and get the 2 points on the evening.
I hear, Davey, you had a bit of a laughter when Ciz mentioned the word consistency, which is, and I understand why, because it is something that's dogged the Belfast Giants all season long.
No, I had a laugh when Ciz said about if we'd been more consistent, we would have walked this league, because the guy that's coming on to talk to us in whatever, 5 minutes from now, I'd said that to him on whatever it was, Saturday night or Sunday during the game, and as he said to me, if my granddad had tits, he'd be my granny, it's one of those. We just haven't been consistent. We'll come back with, you have both coined, I think you said to Kiefer after the interview or the post-game interview in Manchester, character win or character comeback. And Simon has used the same phrase there, character comeback. And yes, granted, that's a character comeback, but I analyze things and do the stats and stuff. If you see our second period graph Friday night versus Saturday night, you would say it's a number one team and a number 10 team. Like, there's just nothing in that middle period. We don't get inside. We don't get shots. We don't create offense. We certainly don't score goals. Obviously, we get the one from Lenny, but the previous night with 5 in the second period, we've got in front. We've created that pressure that's made them take penalties. We've scored 3 in the power play. I think we're blanked on the power play, perhaps. We might have got one power play goal. Aye, but the equaliser, 6-on-4, with the goalie pulled at the end of the game. But apart from that, we didn't create it very much on the power play on the Saturday night. Our power play has been a major concern over the course of the season. I think the Elite League put out a tweet today with the top 5 or 6 power plays. And for the defending champions not to be even in that 5 or 6 teams says an awful lot. And I think
we're ninth, aren't we?
I'm not sure, just off the top of my head, Simon, the sixth team was something like 18%. If your power play is not up over 20%, we're actually, if anything, we're punching above our weight points-wise. The losses away to Nottingham, the losses away to Sheffield, the losses away to Cardiff are the ones that have killed us. The teams that are rivaling for the top of the league, that we haven't scored goals in their barns, that we haven't taken wins, that we've been shut out. That's just been the story of the season. It'll be continuing the story of the season because, we're not in form that we're going to take a run at this. I just don't see us in that 80-90% form that we need to be in to be even talking about being a possible contender. Again, well, we're 3 points out of 4, I guess. Unfortunate that when it's gone to 3-on-3, I think it's Liney, as it's Simon's bust down the right wing with a lot of pace. Bobby's gone through the neutral zone with a lot of pace, dropped it off the Liney and gone back door. Now Liney gets a wee bit of sauce in that and it goes over the stick. It's a beautiful goal. You're talking about it for months to come. Unfortunately, the break the other way, and as we know, 3-on-3, and I think was it Johnny was on commentary with you. You get a chance and you get a breakdown. Invariably, you're giving an odd man rush the other way, and that's the excitement of 3-on-3. Unfortunately, they get the 2-on-0, and we can't do anything about it. But such Jekyll and Hyde. I think we've had shows called that this season. Jekyll and Hyde performance from period to period and game to game, and it's a frustrating time to be a Giant.
So, on the upshot of it, says when you look back at that weekend from the Belfast chance and getting 3 points from four, we talked about on our WhatsApp about what to expect from these seven games and from the nine games that remain. Is that a good return, or are we expecting to take four?
Your home games, you're expected to take four. That's it. When if you look back at the scores we've had against Guildford this year, I think we're 4-2.
Yep.
I think it's 4-2. But you know, you've two games at the weekend. You're not travelling. As I say, Guildford, I know that I was speaking to Taff earlier today, and Taff has mentioned a couple of other boys from the GB setup, and Riddick was sick on Friday, that's why he didn't play. Jesse Craig was sick, but he played. They lost Jordan Knapp on Friday night after about 5 minutes. I actually didn't notice it until about the second period that he'd gone. But he said only a couple of shifts on Friday night. So, you know, they played with guys down. TJ Foster was missing as well. But I thought that, I'd say, Friday to Saturday, Davey's just touched on it there. It was two different teams that come up for the chance. And it's been over the course of the season. That seems to be a recurring theme. Five weekends of back-to-back games for the Belfast Giants this year, and we've picked up maximum points. That's just five times that's happened this year. You know, you've Owe, who played when you look back at the goals that they had, you know, the two power play goals, as I say, the second one was just a piece of art. They get a goal right at the start of the second period. You know, Dunbar and Ferguson then set up the third for Crooks. We keep on talking about the chance being bad, but Guildford were really good in the first 40 minutes. In the last three weekends, they beat Belfast, Sheffield, and Cardiff.
Yep.
They're a good team. You know, if you look throughout the lineup, I mean, if you see the easiest way to look at it, all the Belfast Giants fans in the last year, all we want to keep on talking about is last season. You think about the happy times when you're not playing so well. That's what you do. You know, and by all means, certainly look back at last season with fondness. It's a completely different lineup because we were so successful last year. You know, and that, yes, it certainly doesn't take away any, you know, you feel off and you just want to win. As a fan, I know I'm a very lucky position. We're all, and you know, get to chat to the boys, and I get to do it every weekend on Belfast Giants TV. But see, as the season goes on and we're not winning, I get off too. You know, and you know, sitting chatting with the boys on Saturday, Sunday night, believe you me, they are hurting. We had a really big conversation. Taff and I sat in one of the bars on Sunday night, with Bobby and Pelly. And you can hear how much passion they have for the game. You can hear, you know, that they're not happy with the performances the weekend. You know, and by all means, you just want to turn around and say, well, you know, why don't you just get your finger out and this Friday against the Five Flyers, you know, come out there and just rip them apart.
Says, let me jump in there on that. That's a very, very fair point you're making. What is causing this inconsistency? And I know that we've had, maybe, you know who was a big miss? Goody was a big miss on
Saturday
night.
Very big miss.
You know, he's been excellent. He's a bit of glue in there. He's a guy that makes players around him a wee bit better. But, you know, you can't, it's not the all down. A very, very good roster and a pretty deep roster. You know, that, you know, I think we said either in last week's show or the week before, you know, these are all good players that showed up. Okay, Guildford Flames were a bit weakened on Friday night and we'll put them to the sword. But it was a different performance level from the Belfast Giants. It was a consistency of, you know, I don't like to put desire or anything like that into the mix, but, you know, we didn't skate as hard on Saturday. You were there, Simon. You'd be better placed to say whether you believe that to be.
No, we didn't. And I mean, it's evident. They went 3-0 up. It's absolutely evident. We, our performance on Saturday night, and again, we're having a go at our performance being bad on Saturday night, but Guildford was really good. Really good. Their first 30 minutes was absolutely excellent. We need to be better. We need to get our feet moving. I mean, Johnny said it on Giants TV on numerous occasions that we did not get our feet moving, and when we got our feet moving in the third, they couldn't escape with us.
Yeah. We are
keep up.
I know what you say, you know, sometimes you tip your cap to the opponents. No, we are a better team than the Guildford Flames. Statistically, historically, I know you can't be historically and say because it's happening in the now, but even this season, we are a better team. We're higher in the standings than them. You know, give them credit where it's due. You know, they've got five or six really top players. We've got 10 plus really, really good players. You know, we should be beating the Guildford Flames twice at home. Yeah. We shouldn't be struggling to a comeback overtime loss. And especially when you put them away 7 the night before. Why is the question?
Go ahead. Gibby's got the bleep machine.
Right, you mentioned his name earlier on. We're going to let's get his opinion. It's nearly a year since he announced his retirement from the professional game. It's absolute delight to have him back on A View from the Bridge. It's number 19, not the number 19 for your Belfast Giants. It's Colin Shields.
Yeah, things are going well. Just enjoying retirement so far and enjoying watching some hockey and golfing lots and working a little bit as well.
Are you getting time to watch much hockey?
Yeah, I've been to a few of the games. At the game on Friday there against Guildford, the home win there. So caught that, and then sometimes catch some of the webcasts when I can't make it. But watching a lot of NHL games right now, especially with the playoffs coming up.
So absolutely.
Nice.
So let's get your take then on the weekend against the Guildford Flames. Two very different performances. You were at the game, you say, on Friday. Good to see the Giants score quite a few goals for a change.
Yeah, it did. It seems like things were clicking there, especially after going down early and, getting one or two back right away and seemed to kind of get on a roll, and seems to be a confidence-based team. And once you get a little confidence and things start clicking, it just seems to roll. But seems obviously the opposite when it goes the other way. Maybe get down by one or two early. It seems to maybe, squeeze the sticks a little bit too hard. But a good comeback on Saturday. I saw just sort of the end of it. The tying goal and then obviously the overtime. But yeah, it was an exciting game on Friday and good crowd and good atmosphere.
When you're on a roll like that in a game like that, when the goals are starting to rack up, and we saw that Guildford got a couple back, do you start to worry, or is that a confidence booster to Guildford, especially in a doubleheader?
I guess maybe some of the games this year that things haven't gone well, but I thought Giants had pretty good control of the game, but Guildford's a pretty offensive team with some top-end talent there, so some of those guys can really put the puck in the net. So, but I don't think so. I thought the Giants were in good control of the game, and the crowd was into it, and Murph was playing pretty well. You couldn't really fault them in any of the goals, so I thought the Giants had it under control.
Colin, we were talking, and when we were talking about the games, about the consistency and the inconsistency of the Giants this season, Simon was saying, he's out with a few of the boys at the weekend, and they were talking about the frustrations they've had. What causes that from a team to be like sort of dominant at times on the Friday night to go on straight into the Saturday night and being pretty poor from the get-go?
Obviously, being not part of the team or around the team much this year, it's hard for me to say, put a finger on it. But I'd say, looking at it, probably scoring goals on a consistent basis is probably one of the Achilles heels of the team this year. And if you're struggling to score goals, I think as you can see on the weekend or other weekends, you're going to be, some nights they're going to go in and sometimes they're not, and when they're not, you're really going to struggle to win if you're only scoring two goals max a game. And in the back of your mind, if you give up two or three, you're like, flip, we're going to score four or five to win here. And if you're not scoring anywhere close to that very often, it's going to be tough. So it is hard to say, but I think it's a confidence thing. And I think, once you get a few games like that in your head where, as I said, you think, we don't score four or five here, we're not going to win, and we can barely score two or three, it's going to be tough. So it seems to be the story of the season is winning one, losing one, winning one, losing one. But, it's been pretty tight this year. I thought, a few more wins here or there could have completely changed the season, and we'd be talking about it a little bit differently.
Shadzy, missing it?
No, to be honest, it was the right time for me, and we've talked about this a lot, you and I, and Dave and I, and some other guys, and we played hockey for such a long time, and lots of great memories and great experiences, and accomplished everything I could at the levels that I played at, and was very content stepping away from the game, and it was time for me to focus on my family and other aspects of life, and my parents and my wife gave so much of their time, for my career, and it was for me trying to focus on them a little bit and spend some more time sort of enjoying some things away from the game.
And obviously now you've changed your sporting time to golf. And you're having to spend a lot of time with John Small. Is he coming up with any stories?
If anyone could spend any time with him, no, John's amazing. I mean, if anyone that's met him at the game, he's so passionate. We, David Graham, a friend of mine, who's also my golf coach, instructor, and we go to the games quite a lot together. And we sat with John a couple of times. We usually meet him in the cold for a beer before the game. We sat with him, John seats there a couple of times. We had to move. He was so intense. He punched us in the ribs when the Giants score. And he's just so passionate about hockey, and he loves the team, and he's always so positive. His outlook on everything. So, I mean, for his age, just to be trucking around like he is, it's very impressive. And if you check out the TPF Instagram, also, he's always on there. I video me, he hates me, but always on there trucking weights and medicine balls around too.
TPF, what's that all about? What's that?
yeah, no comment. You know what it is. Davey's been there a couple of times. Davey's had a few workouts.
You can tell I'm pretty hench, you know. So
pretty lean.
How's that working out for you anyway, Sheds? The gym, you know, stepping away from the hockey and being a part time golfer, part time gym owner, does it still? I know Simon. I know you've said to Simon you did all the sort of I had my time and I was very successful at the game and I chose the right time to step away. But like even watching you play in the testimonial, you know, you could still skate if you wanted to. And
you were still
smiling when you were out there on the ice. It must, like, I ask you this all the time and you always give the same answer, but I just don't believe you.
I mean, obviously with the gym, like, it was a lot. I started the gym probably a lot sooner than I expected to. It was sort of maybe an afterthought or something I was thinking about starting when I retired. But when I was training athletes and clients in the summer, it just sort of snowballed. And, the last 3, 4, 5 years, it got to the point where I had to open my own place. And it was a lot last... I've talked about this a few times. It was a lot the last 3 or 4 years to work in 2 jobs and basically playing hockey full-time and working... you're talking working, you can say hockey's only, oh, you only practice 2 or 3 hours a day, but you're still training, you're still traveling to and from the rink, and on the weekends you're pretty much booked out from, you know, if you play Saturday, Sunday, from Friday night all the way through till Monday afternoon, and then to be working the rest of the week, you know, I'm not complaining at all. I was very fortunate to be able to start the business and have it, you know, running successfully and then be able to step away from the game and not have to think about starting it then. And then that's what's made it fortunate for me now to be able to, you know, have my weekends free and to be able to golf and focus on other things like my family. But to answer your other question, hockey is a game that's given me so much. I'm very thankful, and I don't mean to come off like stepped away with any regrets or anything like that. But I think after playing for over 30 years, I think your body. You know, I do still feel like even the testimony I hadn't skated in 10 months and I still got out there and I still didn't feel, I was like, oh, I don't feel that bad, and then try to stick handle. I think, you know, you miss maybe sometimes with the boys and things like that, but minor pro hockey, you know, league, it is a grind and it's tiring, and it's tiring on your body and mentally. And I think as long as the elite league is 56, 54 game regular season championship, I think it's going to be just as tiring for everybody, and it is a grind, and it's probably, I would say, is as much a grind or bigger grind than any league in Europe. I mean, there's no other league in Europe where the regular season title is the championship, and it makes every game like do or die, and it does make for a long year, and especially when things aren't going well. And I was very fortunate to be part of an amazing team last year and some amazing experiences to win like we did last year, my last year.
You talk about that, the 54 game season, Sheds, and how, like you say, it's pretty unique in the world of hockey, the fact that the regular season is our number one championship. Do you see that as a positive or a negative? Because there's always chat about, you know, not being able to develop players or blood players in games that mean less that you might see in other leagues, because every game, 2 points in October is the same as 2 points in March. So is the fact that the regular season is our number one championship a positive or a negative in your eyes?
I think there's positive and negatives of both. I think from a fan basis, I think there's positive and negatives as well. I think it means every game is important. So a Wednesday night in Fife in November, you know, a lower-end team versus the Giants is still just an important game, and the same as if it's a home game. So you're still getting the same intensity over the course of the season, where it might just be a mail-it-in type game if the Giants are, you know, just playing to get in the top four type thing, and Fife is just playing to barely get in the playoffs. But then also from a negative standpoint, it does put a lot of pressure, because then obviously if the Giants lose that game, and as you know, with the social media aspect, the negative part of it comes out, because then obviously everybody sort of can overreact to the results a little bit, and that does put a lot of undue pressure on everything. And then from a player standpoint, as I said, it makes for a long season. It makes for quite a big grind mentally and physically when every single game, I'm not saying if it was a playoff setup or playoffs, the big things that players wouldn't be trying, but more of a mental grind, you know, over the full course of the 8-9 months. And then for the development standpoint, it's not great because, as you say, if you lose that game against, you know, one of the lower-end teams, you know, you just can't play your development players and try and give young British players a chance, and which is a shame. But, you know, you see on some of the quote-unquote lower-end teams this year, some of the younger British guys getting an opportunity, which is good.
Yeah, it's just moving into the last month of the season, the regular season. Have you been looking around the league? Are you? I mean, again, you know, you're not spending all your time on the UK hockey scene, and you're probably not checking the websites and checking the stats and what have you all the time. But have you looked around the league? And if you have, who do you think's in pole position to take that title in 4 weeks' time?
Well, of course, I still check. I mean, as I say, I've stepped away from the game. I don't go to all the games and probably focus on golf and golf my business and family. But yeah, you still, of course, check all the results in the weekend and watch the highlights when you can. But yeah, I mean, it's so tight. I mean, between, what is it, fifth and first, there's not much in it. And it's almost still anybody's game. But, you know, I don't know when this comes out, but you probably want to say it's between probably Sheffield and Cardiff now. And it looked like before Sheffield went on that little run where they dropped, what, four in a row, and then they dropped another one. So, I mean, they were sort of in control. And then now, obviously, Cardiff is a two in hand. I think this game on Friday between those two is a big one, I think. If Sheffield takes that down, then I think even with the games in hand, they're still maybe just down by one if Cardiff wins the game in hand. I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, but I think if Cardiff wins that, then I think Sheffield's on the back foot, because they're going to run out of games a little bit and gives Cardiff a little bit more space to breathe. But anything can happen. It's probably going right down to the last game or last weekend for sure, like it did last year, and we know what happens then.
And then after that, we're into, you mentioned, you know, into the playoffs, and it's significant because it's now 10 years since we last won a playoff title, and a young number 19 with a little bit more hair picks up that trophy. picks up that trophy, and with Jim Gillespie stood on the red carpet behind you, and then skates off into the far corner to celebrate with the Belfast Giants fan. Now, from my own perspective, to me, it feels like it was only just yesterday. But from your perspective, as the last person, last Belfast Giant to lift that trophy, what do you think of the playoff setup, and what is playing in a game like that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's got lots of positive negatives, of course. It is good for fans, and it's good for the league to get everyone together and to have a big celebration. It's a big party atmosphere, and to win the playoffs, we're really very fortunate. Well, I was very fortunate to win it at all, but we only won it once in my time here. But, you know, very fond memories of everyone on that team. We got a picture up in the gym, actually, of that team, and you still look at it, and as you say, it still feels like it was yesterday, even though it was 10 years ago. And I think it is good, and as much as you complain about the regular season, I don't know what it would be like to not have that playoff final weekend, you know, and get all the teams there and all the fans get so into it. And I don't think there's an atmosphere like it anywhere else in Europe or North America. I mean, it's almost like kind of like a college, you know, friendship for, sorry, Frozen Four atmosphere, but with pro teams. I mean, it is special, and to win in front of not only Giants fans but other fans there, it is a special weekend, and hopefully a 10-year anniversary could be a nice little moment for the Giants this year.
How difficult is it, really? Because, you know, obviously it's 4 games to get there, and the pressure on that, those 4 games. But is it intense? Is it difficult?
I think you got to be pretty lucky over the 4 games to do it. I think last year we got, you know, we had such a strong team, especially against Coventry, and you get up early in that first game, 3 or 4. I think it was 4 or 5-0 that first game, and then to play the aggregate game's not a great. I mean, if you're going to do that, I'd like to see them maybe change that to like a 3-game series type thing, where it's 1 game home, 1 away, and then if it goes to a 3rd game, the team with the home ice advantage gets the 3rd game. But the aggregate score is kind of not great, I don't think, because as you say, if you went 5-0 in the first game, how's that second game looking? Yeah. But teams have came back from stuff like that, and then once you get to Nottingham, you just need to. The games are always so close. The scores, you never really see. You know, last year 2-1 and then 2-1 again. You never really see a team getting blown out too often. And you got to get lucky. You got to have, you know, your special teams got to be hot. You got to get the calls at the right times, I guess. And, you know, you just got to get the bounces too. And you know, we won both those games in 2010 and both in shootouts. You know, Murph was amazing in both, and then made that big massive save in the final, like so close to, you know, Cardiff scoring there. And then maybe we're not having this conversation. Yeah. It is just, it's so close. And, you know, you're going to have great teams when it comes down to the wire anyway, so.
I have one last question for you from my side, and it's obviously, again, I know you're very busy on the golf course now, and obviously with TPF.
It's a busy time in the course.
It is, absolutely. I mean, I seen him, it was lashing last Saturday morning at about 9:45 in Belfast. I'm on my way to the arena to get some OSC stuff sorted out, and he's on his way to the golf course like a complete nutter tool. just there's something seriously wrong with your head getting on like that on a rainy day.
Golf here. John would be so mad. John Small would be so mad if I didn't go because of the weather. It's all his fault.
No, I know, and he's walking in there with a complete wetsuit on, and I'm not talking about a golf wetsuit. He's walking on like one of them golf suits you get as a deep sea diver. But what I wanted to ask you was, has it ever crossed your mind about potentially becoming an official / referee?
100% no. I don't know how. Oh man, we've talked about this before. Have we talked about this before? I don't know how anyone would want to be a referee. I mean, half of the team is going to hate. One of the two teams is going to hate your guts at the end of the game. I just don't know when they win. Like, never the losing team ever says, you know, oh, the ref was great tonight. We were shit. Like, it's always, somebody's always going to hate you. And I just don't know. I mean, I know we complain about the refs a lot and stuff, but man, the amount of abuse the referees take, not over only in this league, but it is a lot. And I don't know. That would definitely not be for me. And I think that you do see a good job. Actually, the NHL is getting a lot of ex-players and stuff, especially American League players, East Coast League players that are turning into referees now. And I think at that level, it's a little different. Obviously, well, they're full-time paid as well, but yeah, that definitely never crossed my mind. But I think it's good for maybe younger players or something, if it's not going to work out for them as professionals, to maybe try and get into it.
So this is where I want to lead on to. What's your thoughts on the IHL officials now?
It is tough. As I say, it is a very tough job. They're obviously part-time. They're not professionals.
You do realize that they're not going to get fined anymore.
Oh, so you just have to carve them then, as I was saying. No, I mean, I'm not saying they're not trying, right? But it does seem like the inconsistency isn't great, and I do think that the league has to do a better job of finding ways to monitor it better, and I'm not even sure who's in charge of watching the referees or judging their performances, but perhaps like watching tapes or sending clips and things like that, and I don't know.
Should they be semi-professional?
could they be? Yeah, then the funding, I mean, I guess it's hard to say. Like, I don't know what the referee's other jobs are, but, you know, you're saying, okay, well, you're only going to be able to work a couple of days a week now, and then we're going to cover your salary for the rest. I don't know how that would work and things like that. But I do think if the league is getting to a standard, then I think that they have to, the referees also has to catch up to it. I don't think you can still have just completely almost amateur referees traveling around weekend to weekend to referee these games when, you know, there's the teams are getting bigger budgets and bigger travel and bigger sponsors and playing in Champions League. I think you have to try and get it to catch up. And, you know, I know the referees do get a hard time. And I honestly think that it can be improved. And I think it's more of a league thing than individual. I think the referees they're not trying to not do a good job. I just think they need more guidance and they think they need more, not funding, everybody needs more funding, but more opportunity and exposure to sort of improve their game as well. I think maybe it's just been, if you look at the standard of it over the last 10, 15 years, it's kind of been the same.
Time for February's Player of the Month award, brought to you by Fonacab. We put out for your nominations on who you thought was the best Belfast Giants player of the last 4 weeks or so. And from your nominations, we've drawn up this shortlist. Number 7, Mark Garside. Number 15, Elgin Pearce. Number 64, David Goodwin. And number 89, Kieran Long. Voting is now open on Twitter at AVFTB or twitter.com/AVFTB, and it will be open until Friday afternoon. We hope to give the trophy out to the winner on Fife's game on Friday night. And a big thank you to Fonacab as always for sponsoring the award. So before we let you go, Mr. Shields, it is the February Player of the Month and the voting has opened. The four nominees are David Goodwin.
You want me to pick it? Is that what you're saying? Am I picking it?
Well, I'm going to see who you pick. So Elgin Pearce, David Goodwin, Kieran Long and Mark Garside. Of those four, who would get your vote?
Long's been playing better. He's been moving his feet a little bit better and get more opportunities. And obviously got off to a tough start this year and couldn't really find a rhythm. But he's a good player, and hopefully he'll be back next year and get another opportunity. I think once he gets off to a better start, he'll be good. Pearce has been good since he came in. I don't watch enough of every game, so I don't even know like how many points these people had. And then Goodwin's been good, I thought. Good, it's in his name. Good scorer. Did he score on Friday? Two? One?
On Friday.
You got the first one.
You got the first one, yeah.
I knew he scored. Someone was sending around some Diet Cokes to my feet, so I can't remember all the goals.
What was it? No Diet Cokes?
Gary's had enough. Is Gary one player of the month ever?
Gary?
Yeah, even his testimonial month. Was his testimonial last month?
That's a good point. I don't think he has won the player of the month.
Oh, well, that's controversial there, but everyone's moved on from his 10 years past. He's done. He's yesterday's news. He's not going to win it now. But he's good on defense, isn't he? He's been playing some forward this year too. He's been such a good addition, doesn't he? He just plays all over, and you know, he's just got to get his teeth fixed now too.
You can point him in the right direction, can you?
If he was on here, he would turn up the shit to me. So I just knew I had to get him. No, I know he's a great guy. I've known him for I don't know how long. He used to play with my brother actually, back in his second home when he was in East Kilbride, even though he was born in Fife and tried to deny it.
Scottish politics. Says, who would be your choice of those four?
Mark Garside.
That's it?
I think what Shed said has solidified it. It's his testimonial month. He's got to win it.
David?
There's absolutely no doubt. I'm just going to flick a wee spreadsheet up here while I'm filling for time there. But I think Mark Garside, with his points at the weekend, moved into the top 10 all time in Belfast Giants points scored. And he's had a couple of big bombs. You know, everybody knows how heavy that shot is that he's got from the blue line. And a couple of somehow managed to have enough on them to get past the goalies in the past month. So a couple of big bombs from the blue line. His testimonial month just has to be Gary's this month. So
That last weekend, I saw him take a slap shot from the point and the goalie had dropped his glove by mistake and he caught it barehanded.
How many? He's moved into the top 10, Davey. How many does he need to get the top?
I think he is top 10.
He's top 10, but how many more points does he need to get to the top?
Yes.
Top. He needs to play another 3,000 games.
You don't have to stroke my ego, Davey, or whoever that was.
No,
I'm aware.
He needs another 440 points. That's the gap.
And he's a D-man now, don't forget.
When you think about it, I'll not stroke your ego, but when you look at second place, he's got 360 points, and top has got 640. It's going to take somebody quite the career to catch you, so fair play to you, like.
Yep. Well, if somebody ever gets it, I'll be the first one to shake their hand and be there. It won't be you, Davey. What are you talking about?
It'll certainly not be me, no.
And on that note, mate, it's been a delight to have you back on. I hope you keep them well, and good luck with TPF and with the golf. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good to chat to you.
Big thanks to Colin Shields. Right, let's get down to training. Scissors popped down and had a chat with Adam Keefe. But first, let's hear from Mark Garside.
Mark Garside, after training Tuesday morning. Gary, 3-point weekend. Obviously, it's not ideal, but bouncing back from the being 4-1 down on the Saturday evening, you must have been pleased with the fight back.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely showed good character coming back there. I think everybody was a little bit disappointed with the way we came out in the first two periods, but, you know, in the room during the break there, guys were getting up for him. We were, as a collective, we sort of decided to turn it around and give it a real go, and it ended up coming up with 3 goals for us, so it was a job well done at the end.
It's been you've been in this position before, points behind the leaders going into the last 7, 8, 9 games. There's still a lot of hockey being played, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the top 5 teams are all within touching distance of each other, so, and then the teams are losing to sort of 5 Dundee, Glasgow as well, so we have to just try and keep going and see what comes out at the end. Obviously, we have a big game against 5 on Friday, and then a big weekend after that. We just have to take every game as it comes and try and put the maximum amount of points we can.
It's been a big year for you, 10 years of Giant, testimonial game, obviously your testimonial events leading up to it. And talking about number 10, with your 2 assists on Saturday night, you moved into 10th place overall on the points structure as a Belfast Giant.
Does that mean I have to play another 10 more years and I should be up to the first?
Well, I think you probably got another 10 years in you, to be honest.
No, I mean, I had no idea that was right. I don't really look at it anymore, obviously. When you're playing D and stuff, it's more about the job that you're doing. And even when I was playing forward now, it's, you know, third or fourth line, your job is more about possession and finishing hits and being an energy player. So, that's a bit of a surprise, but it's a nice surprise.
Took over Chris Higgins, and now he's sitting right alongside Robbie Sandrock.
So I say, took over Chris Higgins, yeah. I'm just as skilled as him.
First time ever, I suppose?
Yeah.
Thanks, Guy. Adam, a weekend again, 3 points, but I know you're disappointed with the result and part of the effort on Saturday night. But Guildford, we talked about it numerous times this year. They're a solid team. We've had a lot of success against them this year, and they just came out to play on Saturday night.
Yeah, certainly. We gave them too many chances on the power play, firstly, and then fed their transition game, which is not the right thing to do against a fast, skilled Guildford team. For the first 40 minutes, I didn't really like our game, but it was a great response from the team in the third period and a great comeback, and that's 2 comebacks like that in the last few weeks in the third period. Although we don't want to put ourselves in those positions to have to come back, it is nice to have that confidence that we know should we get down in a game that we have the ability to come back and claw games back, and so that is something that we can build on going into Friday.
Talk about getting into Friday, 7 league games remaining. Going into Friday, 5 Flyers are battling for their lives, trying to obviously get off that bottom spot, but try and pick up that last playoff spot as well.
Yeah, I think they're a team that struggled there for a while, but it seems like they've actually found some form. Maybe not their last result there against Sheffield, but of late they've been picking up some big wins, and we know from playing against Fife over the years, they're a team that again, if you don't play the right way and you feed their transition game, They're an opportunistic team that can score. They have some guys who can really put the puck in the net, and so you have to be dialed in. You got to be ready, and it'll be no different. They're playing to try to make the playoffs, and we're playing to advance in the standings, and it's going to be a tight game. Every one of them from here on out is going to be tight, so you have to be switched on mentally for the duration of the game.
You've been in this position before regarding being behind the leader on points, getting into the last handful of games. It's still certainly still not over, but you've got to push on and just try and pick up one game at a time.
Yeah, if you look at the weekends that go by here, any team can beat any team on any night, and it's something we need to realize as a group. There's an opportunity there for us to claw back into this title race and leave it all out there so that their last couple games of the season really matter. And that's what we're playing for right now. That and finding some form here going into the playoffs. As we all know, the quarterfinals of the playoffs is a two-game aggregate, so it's a 120-minute game. It means that we need to be able to play two games in a row. We need to be consistent for two games in a row, and that's what we're looking to find right now. If we do that, starting Friday, and then we continue to build on that going into the weekend, you'll never know where you end up at the end of the season.
Injury front, three injuries. Obviously, you left out Goodwin on Saturday night. Paul Swindler's pick up a knock, and you're not 100% yourself.
Yeah, that's from lack of working out, but yeah, Goody looks like he'll be okay for this weekend. He's skated a full practice today, which is good news for us. Swindlehurst, we're still waiting on some word back from the doctor, and obviously he wasn't able to skate today, so we'll see how he progresses throughout this week.
Davey, do you want to come back on the stats regards to Gary?
Yes, which is sort of as we alluded to when we were chatting with Shed there. He's moved up above Rob Sandrock into ninth all-time in the Belfast Giants for points scored. He's up to, 545 games. So, you know, there's not many games left for him to catch Graham Walton in second place. And then, I suppose, shoot for Sheds right at the top of the standings there. But fantastic servant of the club that he's came up. 205 points now for the Belfast Giants. 55 goals, 150 assists for the 205 points. And hopefully many, many more to come. You know, he's got a lot of points from the blue line this season. He's jumped up front when he's needed to. You know, you can still throw him in the face-off circle. Still a bit rusty in there. Not the face-off man he once was when he centred Keith and Lloyd. But, you know, he's been a fabulous servant. And just coming just after his testimonial month there, it's I hope to see Gary on the ice for many years to come. But that's some great numbers. I suppose the next one on the list is Todd Kelman and then Jeff Mason. So two guys with a lot of provenance there. They're the top two D-man, and you know, for him to be the top scoring D-man in the club as well would be quite a feather in his cap should he ever manage to overtake them guys.
Right, let's have a quick look around the league, very quick look around the league because we're going to move on. Is Challenge Cup weekend between the Sheffield Steelers and the Cardiff Devils, and I think I know what the answer is going to be here, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Davey, who do you think is going to win? You're going to say I don't care. Go on.
Between who and who?
Sheffield and Cardiff.
When are they playing?
Sunday.
Friday.
Well, they're playing Friday in the league and then Sunday on the Cup. Challenge Cup final.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's what I expected. Simon, any difference from you?
Yeah. Go on. I think Sheffield are going to win it.
Oh, in Cardiff?
Yep.
Do you think they'll take the points on Friday? Because obviously that will be the precursor to that in the same venue.
Yeah, I don't know about it. I don't really care. but I've just got a funny feeling Sheffield are going to win it.
Well, we'll see that game is live on Free Sports, I believe, on Sunday. Join Aaron Murphy for that. Regards to the league, the Sheffield Steelers do still sit top. They had a mediocre weekend. Cardiff Devils, however, took an absolute thumping at the hands of the Nottingham Panthers, 7-3. In Nottingham. Coventry Blaze doing well. They hammered Glasgow, who seemed to be continued to drop like a stone, while Dundee beat the Manchester Storm on Saturday. Thoughts on the Clan, Davey?
That they had a bit of a mini revival period over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to see how they'll not have to make changes again there in the summer. And you know, Simon will tell you he's had to interact with you know, Zach Fitzgerald a good few times over in the Odyssey this season, and a great guy, but unfortunately the coaching thing just isn't working out there at the minute. If it's personnel, if it's coaching, whatever it is, you know, I don't think the Glasgow Clan ownership will be able to be patient. I don't see him getting a second season there, unfortunately for him. And you know, it's that thing about hockey. You know, it's a results driven business, and you know, the Glasgow Clan are desperate for success up there, right? So that from the you know, we had the conference system. We always said, you know, that was purpose built for the Clan to win leagues. How they managed to throw away some leagues, and even to an extent, this one where they were. I know it was very early in the season, but say, you know, late October, early November, there were certainly, it was like, who can catch the Clans? You remember those famous tweets from all from years ago? Who can stop the Panthers or whatever it was, or the Steelers? Can't remember. But, you know, they've just gone into free fall. I think it's, what is it, 2 or 3 wins in 30-something games. So, you know, they're going to do well to sneak that last playoff spot. They'd have to get into some sort of form to do that. But, you know, it's an ugly time to be a Glasgow fan.
They did have
We're complaining about inconsistency and sort of fourth place and still with an outside shot at the league, but you know, you quite long suffering if you're a Glasgow fan.
They, as you say, they did have a bit of a revive on Sunday, beating the Storm in Altrincham 2-0. Cardiff recovered from their loss in Nottingham to beat Dundee Stars on Sunday at home 6-2. But Nottingham went the other way and had a shootout loss to the Coventry Blaze at home 4-3. Says the Blaze are doing really well, considering.
Yeah, the Blaze are, they're the best team over the last, I think it's the last 20 games. They're the best. They're playing really well. That guy, CJ Modden, in early December from memory, and Danny Stewart has got them playing really, really well, and you can see it. You know, that they're only a point behind us. They've got a game in hand. That means they win that, we go fifth. And if it stays the way, fourth and fifth stays the way the rest of the season, we play them in the playoffs. And that, to be honest with you, that's probably the team I do not want to face in the playoffs. Mm. You know, they're on fire at the minute. They're playing really, really well. They beat everybody. And I mean, the last time they were in Belfast, we played them in the doubleheader. We won the Friday. They won the Saturday, so that's a recurring aspect that's really crippled us this year. But no, the Blaze are certainly on a hot trail for sure. Excuse the pun.
Let's have a look at the league table. Sheffield Steelers still top, 48 games played, 63 points. The Cardiff Devils have 3 games in hand and sit only 1 point behind them on 62 points. Nottingham sit on level points with the Giants with one fewer game played, 58 points from 46 for them and 58 points from 47 for the Giants. Coventry Blaze, 57 points from 46 games. Guildford, 53 points from 47 games. Manchester in 7th, 41 points from 48. Glasgow just holding on there in the playoff spot, 39 points from 47. But crucially, Dundee have a game in hand and only sit 1 point behind them, 38 points from 46 games. And the Fife are still just about in with contention, 34 points from 48 games. The Belfast Giants only have 1 game this weekend. It's the Challenge Cup final weekend. So only 1 game this weekend on Friday night at 7 p.m. against the Fife Flyers. A bit like last week, we decided to put it out there to see who would be happy enough to come on and give their opinion on the preview for this game. And Shauna Milligan got in touch, and here she is.
Hello, my name is Shauna. And I've been a Giants fan since around 2017, but mainly since the start of this season. I think the Giants will play well if they put their mind to it, because if they don't, Fife could potentially win, as they've beaten us before. And they've also beaten Sheffield once before, and almost beat Cardiff at one point. So it all depends if the Giants can keep their mind on the game. We need to watch out for Fife's top players like Goffier, Olin and Crowder, because they are the players that will be wanting to score goals and will try anything to make their team win. I think our key players to watch out for on Friday's game are definitely Goodwin, Pierce, Farnham, Rain, Morgan and Smotherman, because they're always playing their best and are always trying to put the puck into the net and score to possibly win the game. Otherwise, they're also defending and trying to keep the puck from going into our net. These players are definitely worth watching and keeping an eye on.
Big thanks to Shauna for that. Yep, game is at 7 p.m. against the Fife Flyers on Friday. Get yourself down there, get tickets, get involved in one of the final few games at home of this season for the Belfast Giants. And if you can't make that trip, you can, of course, join Mr. Kitchen on Belfast Giants TV. Any other business, boys? I'll start. Big shout out to everybody in regards to the Bleed Teal 100. In this last week, we've had 11 donations, so we're really driving forward. I think we're up to 61 donations now. We're driving forward towards that 100 with only a few weeks left. There will be more news on that maybe next week as to how we're going to continue. But please, keep getting going down there. Please donate in your pint of blood. £10, courtesy of the very kind people of Phonocab, goes to the Northern Ireland Blood Transfusion Service, and we will provide you with the tipple of your choice at the final game of the season against the Fife Flyers on the 21st of March. Any other business, boys?
Yeah, I've got one.
Go for it.
Just wanted to reiterate our congratulations to Michael and Karen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saturday night, Karen asked Michael to be her husband on the leap year. Was it 29th of February? Mm-hmm. And he couldn't really say no, could he?
He looked thrilled, didn't he?
Well, it was in front of 5,500 people, mate, and I think he was more annoyed. He was in the middle of doing his work. When Karen came out of the tunnel and onto the ice, and he, to be honest, he didn't know what was happening. Laura Small and Karen had a few wee plans put in place over the last couple of weeks, and they came to me 10 days ago about it. So Michael gave me a f***ing for knowing about it and not telling him. Mm-hmm. There was only a very few select people that knew about it. Congratulations to him. They're two absolute legends. The amount of time, obviously Karen working for Cookery and all the time and effort she puts into that, and obviously Michael for everything he does and as a volunteer at the SSA Arena, and I just want to wish him congratulations. It's looking forward to the big day, and I'm sure I'll be a bit of crack as well.
Absolutely. Congratulations to them. Brilliant. Davey?
I've got two or three things, mate.
Go for it.
Some fun, not so much fun. First of all, I think on behalf of all of us, a big happy birthday to Roscoe.
Absolutely.
To Ross Manley. Faithful listener, good friend of us all there. We see him around the arena. He's always got a smile on his face. Always very positive on Twitter, reaching out and saying hello to everybody. So a big happy birthday to Roscoe from us four, I guess.
Have you had it on there somewhere?
What was next? Yeah, on a bit of a more serious note, I've seen a few different people sort of putting their struggles bare out on Twitter, which is it's great that we're in 2020 and people now know that feel comfortable enough to say, look, well, I'm having a few problems here with my mental health or whatever. I've changed my medication. I'm struggling. Whatever. We're all here for each other first of all on the podcast, for us four, because we have all got our demons, believe you me, and we talk to each other probably more than we talk to any other humans, so it's good to have that network. But I've seen the likes of Sammy Dalton out there this week, struggling with his meds and all. Keep at it, mate. We're here if you just want to talk. The lines of communication are always open. It's good for guys to talk to each other, because sometimes you bottle stuff up then that's when it becomes a major problem. So keep taking the medicine, or keep taking the tablets, as my granny says. And the last one was the AJ McMinn, the wee girl that goes to Belfast Giants games. You'll probably know her more from Twitter, but she's managed to score a PE job for a whole year come September, and she's very excited about becoming Miss McMinn. So congratulations to her on getting the job that she's wanted. I've seen her, watched her on Twitter for a year about being so nervous about going for job interviews and stuff. She's gone for one. She smashed it. So congratulations to her. So some good news stories about the Giants this week.
Hear, hear. Simon, you had Chris Lovell up in the box over the weekend.
Yeah, I've seen, just as Davey says, you know, people are starting to talk about it on Twitter and Facebook and social media. And, you know, again, I'm my political correctness sometimes goes out the window and I don't really say the right thing at the right time. But we'll reiterate, sorry, what Davey's saying. You know, if you just need to chat to somebody, if you just, you know, and, you know, if you need to reach out and you're having bad thoughts or anything, just talk to somebody. Doesn't have to be us. Just could be somebody you don't know. I mean, I've been doing a bit of taxiing recently. And to be honest, it's sort of, there's some people getting in the car. And that, again, I only do it, you know, every so often. That there's obviously, we've at Phonacab, we've a bucket load of, I don't know, did you guys know I work at Phonacab?
No,
but, you know, there's people that get in cars from all walks of life, from all age groups, and sometimes the taxi driver might be the only person that they actually speak to that day. So, you know, there's been incidents where bad things have happened because, you know, people have just got into a bad place and they haven't had the chance to speak to anybody about it. They just don't feel that anybody wants to listen. And yeah, taxi drivers can be a pain in the arse, but believe it or not, they're all good listeners. And if even if you're just having a conversation, and I don't want to mention the name of the driver, but there was an incident a few weeks ago where this girl got in the car, said that she was having some really bad thoughts and needed help, and that her parents weren't listening to her. And the driver told her, he said, look, you need to go and speak to somebody. You need to go and go to the hospital. And she was going to go somewhere else, and she says, well, will you drop me off at the hospital? And he dropped her off at the Royal Hospital. And even just to sit and listen to that as a parent, which he is, you know, a young girl, early, he said she was definitely in her early 20s, or she looked in her early 20s anyway, and she just looked in a really bad spot. And he took her to the Royal Hospital, took her in the A&E himself, and made sure she checked in where she's seen a triage nurse. And then he had the guile to go back to the house where he picked her up, and he told the parents that she was in hospital, to which they were very worried about her. And they went to the hospital because the girl had said to him that she didn't feel confident enough to speak to her own parents about this. She hadn't mentioned it to her own parents. She hadn't said anything. They didn't know anything about it. So the parents went straight to the Royal. Hopefully, they're now in a position that they've realized that she is having a bad time. And she's on the mend. Or hopefully, you know, she's seeing the right people to do who can certainly put her on the right track, if you want to put it that way. But again, just reach out and talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be, as I say, it doesn't have to be us three. It doesn't have to be, you know, Big Joel and what have you as well. Just reach out and talk to somebody if you're in a bad place, because it's, you know, everyone's equal.
Yeah, I think it's very, very poignant. As Davey says, you know, especially I'm in no position to talk because, you know, going through a lot of things myself, and it's, times can be very difficult, but it's always good to be able to reach out and talk to somebody about it, because, you know, it's, if you bottle the things up, believe me, it doesn't do any good. On that note, we're trying on a positive note regards to AJ McMahon. Congratulations to her. And a happy birthday to Roscoe.
Maybe we should flip it round the other way and finish on the happy note.
we'll sing happy birthday to Ross.
Oh, mate, how many times has this gone wrong?
We were crap at that the last time.
Come on, you're bound to be able to do it.
You've got the best voice of the three of us.
There's no doubt about that, Simon, but, you know, don't like to boast. Get Gary, no, get Gary to sing it. There's bound to be somebody else's birthday this week as well. I'm certain there was somebody else's from the Giants that had a birthday. Can't remember.
Adam sent Ross a wee video message saying happy birthday as well.
Ah, good stuff.
He was over the moon at that.
Good stuff. And I'm just
going to play. Who do we play this week?
Five Flowers.
Five at home. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We're going to win that. Big win. Get on the overs this weekend, boys. Get on the overs.
One game, as Davey says, one game this weekend, Friday night, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there or get in front of a TV and join Mr. Kitchen. And who'll be joining you this week, mate? Do you know?
If either of you two want to come over, come on ahead.
I was very nearly there, so I'll tell you about it. Hasn't worked out.
No, this weekend, I all the boys seem to be ready to rock.
I enjoyed hearing Johnny on it, I have to say. I thought he was good. Always good to hear him.
Johnny's always good, mate. I know he's got other things to do around the arena with his role as on the Giants, so he doesn't necessarily get the chance all the time. But I had somebody else lined up that couldn't do it at the time, and I rang Johnny and he said, "Oh yeah, I'd love to do it." So. And he's just so knowledgeable. Like, you know,
that's the one thing about Johnny. He can go into, he can color commentate, but he can go into so much detail too. Even one on one, he'll take you away and he'll draw a dag for you. He just loves talking about hockey.
Good guy.
And I seen when you had the camera on him, like during breaks and stuff, he threw in a couple of head fakes to you as well, which is always signature move of his.
I'll send you what Neil's got the clip. So I didn't realize he recorded all night of the testimonial. I didn't realize that. It's all on the hard drive. So I had to look through bits and pieces of it the other day to pick out my highlights. Sorry, to pick out bits and pieces that happened.
I want to see that Matt Toe dangle, man.
Do you know what? It's a bit of magic, man. Actually, do you know what? Big Pelly came over here on Sunday morning. He said to me, "Did you see what it, he said, I did the kitchen last night?" And I said, "It's okay, mate. Like, just relax, calm down. We're only at the airport." He says, "You can tell me about it later on." But I'll get those clips. Neil's going to clip them out for me. I'll send them over to you so you can put them out in Navy FTV and let everybody see it.
Fantastic. Right. On that note, big thanks to Colin Shields. Big thanks to Shauna for her preview. Thanks to Adam Keefe and the Mark Garside for time down and training. Thanks for popping down and getting those says. Remember, the Player of the Month poll is now open. David Goodwin, Elgin Pierce, Kieran Long, or Mark Garside. That will be open until Friday afternoon on Twitter at AVFTB or twitter.com/AVFTB. You can also get us kingdomofthegiants.com and email us podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Thank you, Mr. McGimsey, and thank you, Mr. Kitchen.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.